Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever."
I would like to welcome everyone on this Christmas Sunday service. We have been waiting during Advent to celebrate the day our Lord was born. Therefore, today we ought to worship full of joy. Today's scripture is the Song of Mary, also known as Magnificat in the Latin word, which means, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Let's look at the background of the scripture. When Mary heard from the angel Gabriel about the conception of Jesus, even though she confessed, "May it be to me as you have said," still, her heart must have been full of awe. Then, as the angel told Mary about Elizabeth's conception of John, she immediately went to visit Elizabeth, who was 6 months into her pregnancy. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby leapt in her womb with joy. How can this be? It has already been scientifically proven that mother and baby are more closely connected than simply supplying nutrients to the baby through the mother's cord. One famous conductor heard a song for the first time and strangely felt like he heard it before. Later, he found out that song was his mother's favorite song. She was a cellist and often played the song when she was pregnant with him. As such, mother and baby are not only physically and emotionally connected, but also able to communicate spiritually. Children who grow up hearing the mother's prayer and Bible reading receive the influence of that prayer and the word throughout their lives. Even if their children are far away, mother's prayer can affect their children's lives. When Elizabeth and Mary met, they praised God together. Elizabeth greeted Mary with these famous words in Luke chapter 1, verse 42. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." As Mary listened to Elizabeth's praise, She also became filled with the Holy Spirit and began to praise God with the song of Mary. Elizabeth and Mary gathered together with fear and awe at first after receiving the angel's revelation and praised God together while encouraging each other. This is what could be practiced in a church community. The principle of community of faith is togetherness, together, we united together, not aloneness. If there are companions walking together on the journey of faith, no matter how difficult of a position you are in, or what difficult things may happen to you, you can overcome with praise and prayers in the church community. Let's turn to today's passage. The first part of the song in verses 46 to 49, Mary is focusing on the personal blessing God has given to her. Mary is praising God because God chose her despite all the things that made the world overlook her. Verse 48 says, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Of course, Mary must have lived a godly life worthy of God's choice. Nevertheless, it was entirely God's grace that she was chosen among the countless godly girls at that time. So Mary says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." She didn't know how true that statement was. After 2,000 years, Mary is still the most respected woman in the world to this day. One thing to note is that Mary should not be regarded as a god. We must not forget that Mary was also a human being who needed Jesus' salvation. Several years ago, I went on a mission trip to Nicaragua with church members in early December. We were surprised that although it was a small town, the whole village was celebrating a big feast. We could often see people marching with Mary's tall image in front. Almost every night, they had special events and fireworks even past midnight, so we could not sleep well. Later, I heard from the native pastor that Christmas in Nicaragua begins officially on the 6th of December until Christmas Eve. They celebrate the Immaculate Conception of Virgin Mary during the month of December. Thousands in the country, especially the young and children, sing as loudly as they can and go from house to house, honoring Mary and carrying beautiful bouquet to the altar of the Virgin Mary. Even though it was their distinctive tradition to celebrate Christmas, I felt like they were praising and focusing on Mary more than Jesus. Now, the second part of the song in verses 51 through 55 shows that Mary's vision extends from her own blessings to nationwide blessings given to Israel, and furthermore, to the worldwide blessing. Verse 54 to 55 says, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever." The meaning of Abraham's descendants includes not only the Jewish people of his lineage, but also Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ, the spiritual descendant of Abraham. Here, Mary prophetically proclaims that her conception of Jesus will be the worldwide blessing of salvation beyond Israel. As Gentiles, believers, you and I also are greatly indebted to Mary, because through Mary's obedience, God's salvation for the whole world has come true. In particular, note that Mary is praising the revolutionary transformation that will take place when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to the world. Verse 51 says, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." The coming of Christ will bring the end of all human boasting and their outrageous ambition. The human power and authority in the world are brought down by the strong arm of the Lord. Next verse, verse 52 says, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." The coming of Christ brings about a great reversal of political and economic state in society. The proud are brought low, and the humble are lifted up. The mighty powers in the world think they are secure, and the poor are in despair of their state. Though God delights to reverse their fate. Mary goes on in verse 53. "He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty." This is the most revolutionary part of Mary's song. Not only does the coming of the Lord upset the proud of this world, not only does it lift up the humble, but it actually means that the hungry are fed and the rich go away empty. It can be said that the revolutionary transformation of society has already begun when God has chosen the lowly and humble Mary as the mother of the Lord. Throughout the history, whenever the gospel has spread into a society, it has usually entered at a lower socioeconomic level. It is a rare thing for the rich to be the first to embrace the gospel. When we read the gospels, we can easily find out this fact. Through Jesus' ministry, our Lord spent a great deal of time with the lowly people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with the sinners and outcasts, and even chose his disciples from the lowly in the society. It's usually not the rich, but the poor, the lowly, the widowed, and the forgotten that are first willing to listen to the gospel. I think Korea, my home country, could be a good example. The Korean War, which broke out in 1950, completely devastated the whole country, and Korea was the poorest country in the world at the time. However, after the war, Korea achieved rapid development as Christianity spread across the country. And in 50 years, it achieved the world-known miracle of the Han River, which is the transformation of Korea being the poorest country to one of the wealthiest. I believe all this was possible because of the countless sacrifices of missionaries from Western countries who came to Korea since the early 1900s and built numerous schools, hospitals, and churches. Korea also owes a great deal to the generous prayers and financial support of Christian churches from around the world. Beloved, this is why we should praise God even in the pandemic. The Church of God did not perish even in the midst of extreme difficulties, but rather has grown through reversals. When the European church declined, the United States of America was founded by the Puritans. And in these days, when the American churches are declining, the churches in Asia and Africa are growing significantly. Although we cannot know God's entire salvation plan, please believe that God is still working through his church today without any error. I know it is going to be a difficult because we can't be together with our loved ones this Christmas. But remember, God is with us. Whether we are at church or home or beach or mountain, God is with us. If you are lonely, Jesus came for you. If you are poor, remember, Jesus came for you. If your family has rejected you, remember that Jesus came for you. If you feel forgotten, hungry, depressed, and discouraged, Christmas is for you. Let us praise God with the Magnificat and Magnificat and expectantly wait for the coming of the Lord in your heart and your family and friends this Christmas. Amen.